continue along with the line of talks and this kind of theme. We've been talking about the pragmatic ways of training. We've already went over fear and anger and hate. And today we'll have a little fun with greed and delusion. But we won't spend too much time with greed. It's a little more obvious. And we'll spend a bunch of time with delusion. And I don't want to go too long because I want to save time for questions and comments. A nice retreat like this, it's nice to end off with questions and comments. And everybody's been having such a nice day since 9:30 this morning here. I love retreats. I really do. It's really nice. So greed. We all know it. I myself am more of a professional at it. I'm what they call a greed type, which is an extremist kind of person. Master G, you used to say a greed type is the kind of person that kind of goes for the gusto. As you hear me explain what I mean, one explanation is, let's say my old New York ways, if a restaurant opens up that I really like, instead of going there once in a while, I go to every day until I'm kind of sick of it. So that's a good description of a greed type, right there. So a bigger picture of a greed type is really someone who when things get rough and their karmic pain and grief and despair come up, they start taking refuge big time in externals. That's a kind of overlooking way to look at it. And it could be many forms like that. Externals can take food and sensual enjoyment, the kind of big ones in the world. Now, you could go for greed in erudition, start reading novels all day, or anything like that. And many, many ways you can go with that. But it's always external. Also, it can be relationships. Your karma is coming up, you're feeling lousy. You look for your friends. And I used to go like this sometimes. Go to one friend's house and another friend's house and this and that and go visit my sister and all these things. Everything is external. Instead of being still and quiet and meditating and let the stuff run through the beautiful nature of the eternal where it should be going, because that stuff doesn't work. And I've proved it for myself. I've tried it for years. I can go to 3 movies in one day and then go out for dinner and then see a show. I just keep going and going. I was truly in love with the New York lifestyle, which is the capital and home of greed. This is the place for that kind of external stuff, is New York. And I would say it didn't work. Because once you've done a lot of the things and you stop for a second, there it is. The same thing that caused you to go to the greed is right there again. There it is. And when you're kind of exhausted and just so tired of running around all these greeds, yeah, there it is. The pain is right there. Right there. And I just said to myself at one point, this is not working. This is not working. that's a fun way of looking at the greed. Now, that doesn't mean once in a while, now when I leave the temple, I can come now, and I still have a bit of that in me. It just doesn't kind of go. But now I could watch a few movies and go to a museum and do a few things, and if I didn't do it, it wouldn't be a problem. As I can go years in the temple and not do it. But I can enjoy these things. There's no problem in enjoying these things. A good word here is, and people use the back east and out west on me, moderation. Well, moderation is the big word for greed types. So when you're going into that greed mode. So, again, in all these talks, what I'm doing here is try to keep us all mindfulness is the key. When you catch yourself going in any of these directions, you compassionately bring yourself back. Don't beat yourself up. That's a bit thing. I've been a bit too greedy, been a bit too angry. Open your heart to it and just come back to the stillness of meditation. Reverend Master Koshin, in his chapter on clinging, covers a bit of greed and delusion. So I'm going to go over a couple of things he says about greed that I found very helpful. And if anyone doesn't have this book, it's on the North Cascades Buddhist Priory website.
Yeah. I have a few precious copies. Yeah, I suspect he doesn't have any more, and if anyone would like to borrow one, and I have them.
And again, on behalf of Reverend Master Koshin and myself, we thank Reverend Master Maiten, who was the key person in putting this together, and found the printer. The nice local printer, and I drove it to the and what I'm going to talk about today, a couple of things, are in chapter 4, aspects of clinging. So I'm going to cover a couple of aspects that pertain to greed, and then I'm going to cover a couple of aspects that pertain to delusion. And there's many, many aspects of greed and delusion. So this is just a couple, and these are the main ones we'll talk about today. So let's go on. Mr. Koshin goes to the big one, as we all know in the world. And the first of these aspects is clinging to sensual enjoyment. The senses, right there. In order to understand the potential range of this aspect, it is important to remember that in Buddhism, the experience of the senses includes the flow of the thoughts. So that's a big thing, and I've been learning that the last couple of years. Mindful of my thoughts, because the thoughts will lead you if you go with them. So that's a big thing. One can be as attached to beautiful thoughts as to beautiful sounds or sights. Obviously, the problem here is not inherent in either the immediate experience or in our appreciation of its beauty. In other words, always grasping and looking, the greed for trying to go for beautiful thoughts, beautiful sounds and sights. There's a big greed aspect to that. And what happens when you don't get it? Suffering. So, the problem lies in the attachment to passing experiences. This is good. When such attachments develop into obsession, great suffering surrounds even the most beautiful sense experience. We are all familiar with stories of great artists and musicians who destroy themselves in their pursuit of beauty. They get consumed by the greed of it. It's a consumption. A more common example is found in the addiction to drugs, which is also an expression of a longing for beauty and serenity in joy. People are looking for something in those drugs. And as the drugs hit and it gives them a certain serenity and they get more drugs, and we know what direction that goes. Unfortunately, the The means used to this end are terribly damaging. And this points out the necessity of turning toward the eternal, the real source of all tranquility and enduring joy. That's the deeper source. That's the place to go. Pause. Then Master Koshin says a few lines. There is a common misconception that in letting go of worldly attachments, one will become unloving and cold. I have a friend in New York with that line of thought. And she says, greed is good, passion is the best, she says to me. I go for it passionately. She said, and I've known her for many years, and she gets in a lot of trouble. We were friends together, and we used to get in trouble together. So she is finally realizing it doesn't work. Now, she years ago got into heroin. That kind of stuff just led to looking for something. Just that pain that she had, that suffering and grief. Thought for many years passion was the way to deal with it, and it then didn't work, and had to go back to the drugs. And that so this kind of idea is not uncommon in the world. What actually happens is that one comes to understand the real nature of love, which goes far beyond a passing emotion or bond of attachment. Worldly love is easily disappointed, and when this happens, can turn to hate and grief. We all know that one. As we in the world and we're attached to something and we're disappointed, we know what happens there. True spiritual love longs only for the welfare of all beings, because all are within the eternal and all have the potential for Buddhahood. To see everything as the eternal. To let that love flow through us and out of us. All the time. We try. We're not successful a lot of the times, but we can go back to it all the time. It's always there. Always there. We can go back to it anytime. If we go far out, as we do, we can go back to it. If we go a little out, we can go back to it all the time. I think we're going to leave greed. I think we get an understanding of greed. It's a bit obvious, greed. Delusion is not. The nature of delusion is very tricky. Very tricky. There's so many aspects of delusion, we'd be here for months. So we'll just try to touch on the bigger aspects of delusion. So the first, we'll go to Reverend Master Maiten's dictionary, and I looked under delusion, and it had a really nice short meaning, I like. And this was a great meaning, a belief that the false is true. That's delusion, believing that the false is true. So what's the number one delusion that people have? Delusion of self. Right there. Delusion that this thing we got here, mind, body, all, is God in itself. As people take it as the thing and put a big time refuge in it. Make it the thing. For the people that weren't here a couple of talks together, the coarsest way to look at it is people who really take it. This is, and I know everybody has moved away here from this dimension of it. So what we're going to do now is go over, in its strong sense, we're going to go over the smaller aspects of it today. We all have those. But this, where we make self our God, and we know what happens here when the body starts breaking down, the beauty of the body, and you start decrepitating, getting old, and so forth. It's hard to take refuge in it anymore. And most of these people, and I know a few, like this back east, are quite lost. If you take refuge in something and you think it's real, and it starts breaking down, big time fear. Right, as we talked a few days ago. So, Rim Master Koshin has a couple of good words there right away. And he calls it clinging to a delusory permanent self. The delusion of self is the delusion that our present body and mind, or some part thereof, is what is ultimately real and valuable. Clinging to this delusion generates the terror of death and the fear to live wholeheartedly in the present moment. We talked about that when we talked about fear. So we're just reiterating that. There are many ways in which people seek an enduring refuge in things which manifestly do not endure. The clinging to the delusion of a self supports the misdirected effort. The sense of separation from the eternal, which this engenders, fuels in some a desperate pursuit of fame and gain. Right there. That's really putting the self on the pedestal and you're really getting into fame. Others sink into a more passive state of despair. So there's a couple of places you can go with that. Now, Master Koshin is going to talk about another aspect of delusion, and I have a few others here, and there's many more. Some of these came up in nice conversation in Seattle that I didn't even think of till some people brought them up, so I'll share them with you. But we'll go over Master Koshin's one first. One aspect of delusion is being deluded to rites and rituals. And this is a big delusion in religion. And a word that comes out for me with this kind of thing, and I notice people who get into this kind of thing, in New York we call people like this kind of order freaks. More like a perfectionist. Everything has to be put in the right way, and then this kind of thing. And we'll talk about what someone brought up in Seattle was idealism. This came out of that talk in Seattle out of this one. So we'll get into that after I read what Master Koshin says. This is the clinging, and he talks about a particular form of this, to religious form, while being afraid to penetrate the immense unknown to which the form is pointing. In other words, you stay on the surface of things. And people really in religion, they get really caught up with this. In the external. Again, externals, the external aspects of religion. When carried far enough, this aspect of clinging leads to the excesses of religious fundamentalism. Sacrifice of animals, to which the Buddha specifically objected, and idealization of religious leaders. And that's where I'll leave it there with that one. But I'll continue along in that vein. So I talked about that in Seattle, and someone brought up, and we talked about idealism and perfection. This is a note I took in Seattle when I talked about this. Idealism and perfection is a big delusion. Looking for this kind of perfection and idealism in things when the world is not geared that way. The world is not an ideal and perfect place. So if you're constantly throughout the day and all the time looking for idealism and perfection, what's going to happen? You're going to be constantly hitting a stone wall all the time. And what this leads to, and I've seen people get into this, and I've got into it myself, you become a chronic complainer. This is a complain, complain, complain. Because if things are not this way, oh, this should be that way. How come this is not that? And before you know it, you've turned into this kind of person. So if you see yourself moving into these kind of directions, chronically complaining, being so ideal and hitting a wall with this stuff, the mindfulness is there again. Catch yourself. Go back to the stillness and let that stuff poof, vaporize. That's what happens when you get still and meditate. All this idealism and perfection and then the chronic complaining all dies down. One thing that came up for me years ago, I remembered in Seattle a few months ago, that saying on the perfection of Zen. There's a saying, perfection of Zen. I was sitting with it for years, and something came up about my transmission time, and I ran it by Rim Master Koshin. He said, that's a good aspect of it, so I'll pass it along today. One aspect of the perfection of Zen is to see all perceived imperfection as perfection. In other words, to see everything as of the eternal. So if you go in that direction, you kind of move away from the idealism and the perfection, looking for perfection in everything, and chronic complaining. And all acceptance that we've kind of got into from our first day of training is big with that. If you work on the all acceptance, it's big. A lot of this stuff in myself starts with myself. There's aspects of myself that I'm not happy with. I haven't been happy with most of my life. So this is kind of permeated through my whole attitude over my life until I started hearing this teaching where there was a place for that. And quite honestly and frankly, I didn't know what I was doing. So down on myself for so many years, I didn't even know it. I was so caught up in it, I was deluded. I was deluded. And that's another reason I'm thankful for the teaching. I found out when we first got the precepts and I read them in the commentary, and I read the one, do not covet. And I started reading your whole, I forget Rev. Master Jew's commentary, you're all with yourself and you're the same as...
Do you want to see?
Yeah, let's hold that one. That really hit me. I said, I'm one of the biggest coveters around. I always wanted to be smarter. I always wanted to be more skillful, more artistic. I was never satisfied with what I had. Never had satisfied. I actually bought into this delusion. Here. Since we were raised with it, and my particular body didn't fit with the delusion of the world. A male thing is tall, dark, and handsome. I didn't fit that category. So what the hell? So I was down on myself. I said, oh, that's it. You could really buy into that delusion. I did. And I was down on myself. And then I saw the teaching, do not covet. Master Jiyu says, preserve well, for you now have Since there is nothing from the first, how can there be anything to preserve well? And she said, the white snow falls upon the silver plate. The snowy heron and the bright moon hides. Resembles each the other, yet these two are not the same. Thus we think there is a difference. Thus we think there is an ability to cover it and something to cover it. If you're tall, dark, and handsome, or if you're short, light, and balding, you're both of the eternal. Don't buy into that stuff. Don't buy into the white is white. The eternal is of all of it. So don't be down on yourselves. Don't buy into that worldly delusion. You're as good as anybody else, as good as anything. We are of the eternal, and everything is of the eternal. Thus, man makes mistakes. Indeed, there is nothing from the first. There is nothing outside the eternal. Nothing. That love of the eternal flows through every part of us and everybody. Thanks. So another thing, we were talking about delusion. Someone brought this one up. You kind of get into a defensiveness mode. You become defensive. So we actually looked, this is not really Mr. Maytan's dictionary. We looked at the dictionary in Seattle on this one to look under defense. We had a lot of fun with this up there. Down there, excuse me. And what the definition of defensiveness was, constantly protecting oneself from criticism. Exposure of one's shortcomings or other real or perceived threats to the ego. So, when you catch yourself being defensive, know you're in delusion. You're protecting something, the self, that is just fluff, like foam on top of the beer. I shouldn't use beer. Pop. We don't drink. Again, you could be mindful when you get into these states during the day. This is the training we're doing, and it's great to come back, not to get angry at yourself, not to say you're a bad trainee for going to these places. It's just that we're human. The humanity is there. We'll always be human till the last day. Then there was one other thing that someone brought up that I thought was really good here, that I never thought. It's a big word in the world now. Here it is. Denial. Denial is actually another word for delusion. We looked it up. A refusal to accept or to believe something. That's delusion. And this person said that they were big on denial. That their whole life was denial. And they've been working on this for a while to move away from this denial. I would guess that's as good as mine, greed. If you deny something or you try to cover it up with greed, it's the same thing. I was so strong in greed, denial. I'd see it and then I'd go right away to cover it up. That was my... And then in the dictionary example, it says, i.e., refusal to acknowledge painful realities, thoughts, or feelings. That's right there, our karmic stuff. So I think now we have an idea of delusion and where we can go with that and how to bring ourselves back. So that's going to be it. I wanted to save time for... comments, questions, and we had a lot of fun with this at other talks. So, Reverend Master Maytan, do you have anything to add to it before? I know.